Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Old. It's always right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you none other than our very own Messenger Ron Dyer.
Bless you, my brother. Bless you, my brother. You're getting there with that, man. I'm starting to feel like, hey, I am somebody. That was beautiful, my brother.
You are somebody.
I say, like said, the entertainer say, I'll bring you out, man. I'll bring you out. Yeah, I'll bring you out,
man. Steve Harvey said that.
Is that right?
Today. Yeah, you know, how's everybody doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm regenerated now. I'm good.
My brother, how are you doing? Okay, he brought me out, and then somehow or another he lost me. But
he gone.
He'll be back. Today, we've got an hour podcast tonight, so we are really looking for full participation in this podcast. But one of the things that I wanted to just expound upon today, I had the privilege of attending a church service today. And one of the things, it's just so hard for quote unquote baptized believers to understand is the fact that we are all one, even though the Bible, which they follow so religiously, tells them this. It just, you know, when I sit here or there and I listen to the sermons that are being preached and the words that are being spoken by the preacher man, and a lot of the words are really, really, really deep. But because we look at everything from a pre-taught moment, we're failing to truly see and hear what it is that God is saying to us. And when I go to services now, I'm really in tune. And I remember for so long I went, I was there, but I wasn't hearing what was being said. Because you've heard it so many times, it's like, you know, how many times can you hear the same thing? But now when I go, I really pay close attention to what it is that the brother or sister is saying with regards to God in the Bible. And one of the things that is so important for us as we move on in this walk of life is to really come to the understanding that we are all one. All things are one thing. There is only one thing, and all things are part of the one thing there is. This means that you are divine. You are not your body, you are not your mind, and you are not your soul. You are the unique combination of all three, which comprises the totality of you. You are an individualization of divinity, an expression of God on earth. And it's just that simple. And if you recall some of the scriptures and stuff that you read in the Bible, this is what it's telling you. And as I just mentioned, your mind, your body, and your soul. Does anybody know what that has any kind of reference to? Your mind, body, and soul?
Amen. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
You're back.
I don't know what. I'm sorry. I was listening. I don't know what happened. I thought we were way past this point, but go ahead, Brother Messenger. Amen. I'm going to go Uncle Carson on you again. Hey, amen.
I was just speaking about the fact that we are one. We are
no,
all
I heard
one.
You. I got you, brother.
Okay. And when I said mind, body, and soul, just think about it for a minute and see what that equates to.
The Trinity.
Yes, indeed, my sister. The Trinity.
Oh, and y'all practice before the show. That ain't right, man. Y'all practice before the show. That ain't right. All right, okay. No, I feel you. Go ahead.
So these things are right before us, but because we walk around in these blinders, we refuse to see it as we're right before us. Today, the brother was preaching regarding Jesus and was telling the story of the time that the man left. And he told about the centurion who came to him because one of his servants or something was about to die. And he told Jesus, because of who I am, you know, I'm not worthy of you to come into my house, but if you just say the word, you'll be healed. The servant will be healed. Now, can Jesus do these things? Yes. Can you do these things?
Yes.
A little slow on it, but okay. Yes, we can, and this is what we have to understand. And not only that, a lot of the times that Jesus healed people, Jesus told them, it was your faith that healed you. It wasn't me. I didn't do anything. Because you believed is what it is that healed you. And so this is why it's so important for us to understand the abilities that we have. And As I said, Jesus is telling us this. As you read scripture, you'll see where Jesus is saying this, but we of little faith do not believe this. And as I was referring to the story of the centurion, Jesus even said, now, mind you, he had all of these people, so-called Christians and followers of his, that were following behind him. And Jesus said about the centurion that he has not seen anyone with greater faith than that centurion, who was not a part of the whole Christian movement. So if Jesus recognized that it was somebody else other than those that was following him, why is it so hard for us to think or just try to believe that we are more than what we think we are?
Because see, when Jesus didn't have to to deal with preconceptions. Everybody knowing everything already. So when I mean, not as many people, I would say, but when Jesus came, you got to remember the whole. Again, we got to go back to the story. We got to go back to the story. I'm sorry. I'll explain what just happened after the show. But we got to go back to the story with John the Baptist spending all those years preaching his coming. So in other words, when he got here, the table was kind of set for him not to enjoy his meal, but to eat his meal. So when Jesus was saying that he recognized, you know, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought, podcast audience, because something just happened in my studio that just kind of scared to be Jesus out of me. But okay, I apologize for losing my train of thought there, brother. Go ahead. I'll catch up with you. I apologize for that.
Well, I'll go from where you left off at. Yeah, they were already preconditioned for Jesus to be the one. But even in that, they were conditioned for Jesus to be the one that he wasn't. Jesus was the one that was trying to show them the way, but they thought Jesus was literally the king.
And again, when he came, okay, I'm back on track now. When he came and let them know that, you know, I am that you are. I do what you can do greater than. All you have to do is follow my example, understanding that God is in you. He is a part of you. And I promise everybody, you can walk on water if that's what you choose to do, if you believe. But we can't believe because, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to sound redundant, we are so conditioned to have somebody else believe for us. We think that that's too great for us to just have. We can't have the ability to speak directly to God. We have to have that intercessor. And Jesus was saying in his lifetime was about having you understand that you don't need no intercessor, man. I'm sitting here telling you, again, you can call me whatever you want to call me, son of the king, child of God, but I'm here to tell you that you and I are the same. So whatever you call me, that's what you are too.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And part of their story was the tearing of the veil in the temple, right?
Right.
Wasn't
the Old Testament and
the
New Testament
veil supposed to represent your direct path to God?
Yes.
But instead,
and even though he constantly said that, but we still made it something else.
And this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. Jesus realized that no matter what he told them, they wouldn't follow or wouldn't believe. So he said, because you have such lack of faith, you've seen me, so believe in me. Ask in my name. If you can get enough faith to ask in my name, I'll tell the Father that forgive them, for they know not what they do. Go on and hook them up. Because they do not have, it's just amazing when you really search the scripture and read what it's saying. That's why I say I'm always quoting the scripture, but I'm letting people know that it's more into scripture than the fact that Jesus died on a cross and it was the blood that saved you. The blood did not save you. You were already saved. There was nothing to be saved from. The only thing that the blood did was gave you a little bit of faith. We talk about the resurrection and the death and all of that. There is really no dying. It is just a transition. That's why he was able to get up in the quote-unquote 3 days. Because there is no such thing as dying. You cannot die. But in order for you to understand that, you have to understand, once again, the thing that Sister Carmen said, the Holy Trinity. You are a part of it. And in order for you to be able to walk and look at things a different way, you've got to come to this knowledge. You can't keep sitting in the background thinking that this one person, whoever it is that's in charge of leading people, is telling you everything, because he could be just as he or she can be just as lost. And so you're going to follow him because he stood up one day and said, God told me to tell you this. Well, God tells each and every one of us something every day. There is no preachers, and we are all messengers. We all have a message that we can share with someone. Why? Because God is speaking to each and every one of us every day.
Messenger.
So all we have to do is take heed. take heed.
That's true, brother. That is so true.
Amen.
So, what I'd like to better understand, and I'm waiting patiently for the proper way, because one of the things that I'm really passionate with this, and I'm trying to contain myself, because sometimes it really, really, really gets to me when you put facts before people that believe, and I understand that because you believe, but when you're putting facts before a person and they see the facts, but they want to return back to something else because that's all they ever known. Because that's all they ever known, they think that to be right. But just because that's all you've ever known, that doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it wrong. But what I'm saying is, there is so much more to what it is that we should be doing. There is so much more to this thing called life. And if we follow behind religion, we are not really living life. Now, some people might think that they are, but that's only because they don't know any better. But you're not living life because you just won't let go.
Well, because it's my comfort blanket. I won't let go because
right.
I'm comfortable with this. I'm already used to this. So something different would probably be a radical turn for him. And a lot of people, I may not believe this whole story, but I'll just stay here because I believe most of it.
Yeah.
Right. But even with the old story, and I understand that theory, but even with the old story, if the truth be told, it's not working.
But you know what, brother? I mean, now we got to look at it. We got to look at it from a different. I think we might want to change our perspective on that, because when we say it's not working, as per who?
Right.
Because we got to remember, regardless of what we do, where are we going to end up? That's a question.
Oh, well, we're going to end up right back where we started, with God.
Exactly. So when we say it's not working, if you spend a lot of time in church giving away your money or whatever, and then you die, you're going to go to the same place as if you had not done any of that. So when we say, and again, I just got this big thing about the mega pastors, and I think that when your church turns into a business, it's really not even about God anymore. But nonetheless, somebody getting help somewhere, if they take it in, and again, if they're tricking you into giving them $1 million, I got to believe at least $50,000 helps somebody.
Well,
you know what I mean? Right,
but let me clarify what I meant by it's not working. What I mean by that is they go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, praying to God for something. And They're praying to God, but they're not doing what needs to be done to get it. So this is what I mean by not working. The fact that they want something, but they're not achieving it. But then they'll settle and say, well, if I don't get it, it's because God didn't want me to have it. Even though the word says God wants you to have the abundance, God wants you to have whatever your heart desires. So how can he say that to you, but then turn around and say, well, that wasn't meant for me? Whatever it is that you can, whatever it is that you can visualize, or whatever it is that you can desire, you can have. God is not going to say no to anything. Why? Because he has given you free will. For God to say no to you is to say no to himself. So this is what I mean by when I say it's not working. And I'm not saying all of it isn't working. I'm saying that there are parts of it that's just not working. It's not working for you to want a car, but I can't get the car because I got to give my money to somebody else because they pressuring me because they done told me that God want me to get the car. That's not how it works. If you set your goal and want to get a car, you get your car. Then when you have whatever you have left and stuff to that and you want to give to others, that's how it's supposed to be done. You are not supposed to be pressured to believe that if you don't give money to God that he's going to be mad at you. God loves a cheerful giver, because when you're cheerful, you're doing it out of the abundance of your heart, not because it's a requirement, not because it's a commandment. They quote that all the time. God loves a cheerful giver, but make sure you give them that 10%. Now, there are people that are cheerful giving the 10%, but that's only because they've indoctrinated with that. That's just what I got to do. But, and once again, if that's what you got to do, that's fine. It's just as the brother just got finished saying, it doesn't matter. So if it doesn't really matter, then why subject your life to what it is that someone else would have for you to do instead of what it is that you would want to do? I won't mention any names, but there's a pastor. They just took out a loan on the church so that he could get the lights and stuff, like he's got a stage show going on.
Mm.
So now the church is going to look all pretty with the lights and all of that stuff just for a show. And as they said in the movie, Brother, in the movie Malcolm X, this ain't no game. This is life. And we're taking people and we're depriving them, per se, because of how we enslave their minds to believe that that is the only way. Christians are under the knowledge that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can no ways enter into the kingdom. This is what they believe, even though Jesus has even said to them, don't worry about these other folks. I got people that you guys don't even know about. That's in the Bible. I've got people that are not of this flock. I've got people everywhere because God is everywhere, and they're all God's people. They like to say the chosen. Are you God's chosen? We are all chosen. And what kind of God is it that is going to pit me against you? God's will is for you to be this and for me to be that. Whatever it is that I am, it's because that is who I've made myself to be. it wasn't because the devil got a hold of me and this is what happened. And I say this because it's time for us, not that anybody has to believe a word that I say. I've always said this throughout every single podcast. Try God. And the word tells you that. Try God and see, won't he open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? And when I say heaven, I don't mean this place in the sky. Theoretically, that's what I'm referring to, open up and pour you out. And even with that saying, we've already limited to when we say, see, won't he open up the windows and pour you out a blessing? What's the first thing come to everybody's mind?
Money.
Money. And it's more to life than money. Oh, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to put money down. All right? But there is so much more to it. And if all we're looking for is money, why does it make sense for us to give it away? Grudgingly, because it's been commanded of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I say these things, and I'm constantly talking to God to ask him to work on me so that I'm not. I don't mean to sound condemning because I'm not. I guess I feel, because it makes me feel as if other people may look upon us as if we are just plain ignorant. And I think that's why I have that passion, because common sense is common sense. And if we fail to use common sense, which God has given us, because somebody told us something different. Now, who's that on? Yes, as the brother said, in the long run, it doesn't affect us because where we're all going to end up at. But would you rather today be a better day than what it was if you knew better or you knew more? If you knew just who you were, wouldn't you try to do more knowing who you are? Wouldn't you try to be a help to someone? Because that's one of the things we have to understand, too, that our lives is not really our lives. Our life is predicated on how it is that we live it, that we're able to help someone. Because that tells us who we really are. Jesus left on record, this is how they will know that you are my disciples, how you love one another. This is what it's about. It's not about the cross. It's not about the blood. And for such religious people, and for one of the commandments to be thou shalt not kill, there's a whole lot of killing in the name of God, isn't it? But it's one of his commandments, so he's breaking his very own commandment. He sent his son, according to the story, he sent his son here to die. Does that make sense?
Nope. Doesn't make sense.
And if it was so important for God to get this right, he had to send somebody because he messed up in the first place? I messed up, so now I'm going to send my son to correct it. And the son still didn't correct it because he got to come back again. And he got to come back again. But every day we're talking about the Jesus in me. So if we're talking about the Jesus in me, who's coming back and when? Isn't he already here? But just like in the day when he walked the earth, he was here and they didn't even know who he was. They thought that they were getting a king that was getting ready to set up a new state in Israel. When Jesus let them know that this isn't what I'm about. You guys have got it twisted. You got it all wrong. This is not what I'm about. I'm about something much more bigger than this.
But even on that story, my brother, if you most people believe that the God we serve actually sent Jesus here just for the Jewish people. If you read the story,
right,
he was sent here for the Jews and the Jewish people. I don't mean any disrespect by Jews, but he was sent here for the Jewish people, and because they didn't receive him, then the Father said, the Creator said, excuse me, now you can go to the rest of the world. So if you believe that story, had the Jews accepted him, then where would we be? The Jews would have their Savior, but what about the rest of the world?
Well, let's stay right there for a moment. God decided to send Jesus to the Jews, and they wouldn't receive him? Think about that.
Watch out now.
God realized the Jews needed Jesus, and he sent them, and they didn't receive him.
You want to ask me? I can ask the next question for you. Is that possible? Is that possible? So in other words, again, you want me to believe that the God I serve, really, I wasn't his first choice of people to be helped. It was right. Okay. It was okay for me to be lost in the muck and mire, but I'm only concerned about the Jewish people. Come on, folks. Let's listen up. Listen up every day.
And not only that, my brother, but then you've got to understand that this God with all this power really doesn't have any power. Because if he thought enough to send his son, which was in heaven with him, from heaven back to earth, and they still didn't receive him, what kind of power does he really have? He got the power to transform people here or there, but that's it.
Just something to think about, folks. Just something to think about.
And that's all it is, just something to think about. And so when you start the thinking, then you can allow God to come in. But if you've got that closed mind where that you believe that all of this is crazy and only what you read in the 66 books is true, then you can't really begin to know who you are.
Amen.
Amen.
Even though there are books there that tell you, but you won't believe it because the way that the preacher person puts it to you, you can't accept
right.
it.
Or it's put to you in the manner that you need help to accept it.
And then nobody giving you that help. Well, actually, we're giving you that help right now, but you
Amen.
Refuse to accept it. But we're giving you that help right now. And nobody is telling you to just listen to whatever it is that's being said. We're telling you to hear what we're saying and take it to God. Is there any harm in that? Taking
no,
it to God?
No.
None at all. None at all. Because that's what it's supposed to be. We take
that's
it to
right.
God. Again, you
that's
know, and we go back to the Bible. And again, if God tells me, I'm just going with the story, he sends his son here to die for my sins, then I have to be reasonably comfortable in knowing I don't have any more sins. I don't have
Amen.
To ask any. I'm just saying what I believe now. I don't have any more sins. So I have
right.
no reason to ask anybody to remove my sins. I don't have to go to the priest and do acts of contrition because
right.
I believe that God sent his son here and his son died. You know, the fact that his son died for my sins, then how can I, that means if you, again, just breaking this down literally, then you have to believe that there's some other things in the universe, other acts in the universe going on that we're not entitled to, or we're not educated on. But I say to you people, if you understand the power of God, if you appreciate the power of the Creator, then you have to know things don't add up when we talk about the Almighty.
And that's what's mind-boggling to me. That's what's mind-boggling, how you can in one breath say how loving, how kind, how merciful, how forgiving, how understanding He is, and then think that after all of that, if you don't get on your knees the right way, or if you don't call His Son the right way, He ain't going to have nothing to do with you, and you stuck in hell. How can you mix those two and truly believe that? And I got to go back to what you just said, brother, because that's really deep. And, you know, people will come up with all kind of different things. But if He took our sins to the cross, it does not say anywhere where he gave them back to us. So if He didn't give them back to us, why are we still calling everything a sin?
And that's right. That's right.
There is no more sin because He took them to the cross. And then it was that blood that washed all those sins away. So now the blood washed them away. What? We went and picked them back up again? If He took them from us, how did we get them back? And if He took all the sins to the cross, technically, what is the need for Him to come back for?
What's up, brother?
To retake those same sins again?
What's up? I took them once, but I gave them back to you. Sometimes, when you hear these stories, it makes you just want to think. I'm just saying, it makes you want to think. And again, that's what this podcast is all about. I just want you to think. Man. I don't want you to blindly drop what you believe, but I'm telling you, the words of the messenger sends to us three times a week. Again, we already have what it is that we are searching for.
Amen.
You don't have to search anymore. You just have to realize that it's here already. It's like you're going out in your new car to buy a new car. Yeah, not adding up, folks. You already got a new car. Now, if you want two cars, then that's a little different. But again, we already have what we set out on this gospel excursion, for lack of a better phrase, to try to find.
Mm.
All we got to do is understand, or as the messenger teaches us, we just have to remember.
So true, my brother. So true. We just have to remember. I wanted to jump on that, what you just said, because there are so many times during the course of our life and now during the course of each day that the God in us takes control. And I'll give you an example. If there's a time when something inside you is saying, don't go that way, and you don't go, and then come to find out it's a good thing I didn't because of this
or that.
That's the God in you working. And
amen.
The problem, as we stated earlier, is what we do is we use our powers subconsciously. So we're not even aware that we're using them. And what we need to do is start consciously using the power and authority that we have. Because nothing with these miracles, as soon as a miracle happened, even though it's only you standing there, you automatically give the credit to God, which is good.
Yeah.
But look around you. Who do you see?
Me.
Okay. And this is what, but we once again, because we think so little of ourselves and don't know who we really are, that's why we think it's something somewhere else instead of us, the power and the authority that we possess.
Yeah.
You've heard about the time where somebody in a moment of despair lifted a car up so that mm-hmm. they can get it off of a person. You've heard those stories before, right?
Yes, we have.
But who lifted that car up?
You did.
That's right.
That person lifted that car up. The angel was with me. The angel is always with you. God is always with you.
That's right.
So once again, subconsciously, we use the power that we have. But instead of us accepting it, we'll go around and we'll give everybody the credit for it, but where it really belongs, within the God in you.
That's right. Amen.
People are healed. Sometimes they've gone to the doctor and the doctor can't find the reason why you're healed. Nobody else came to you. It was the God in you that healed you because of your faith that you believed. And this is the same thing that Jesus was doing with the people. But we still don't believe. Jesus just spoke the word and the man left knowing, he said it, it's done. And we have that same authority if we can begin to understand and accept the fact that we are divine. We are a part of the Creator. Jesus said that the Father is the tree and we are the branches. That makes us part of it.
Yeah,
what tree, you know, what tree is any good without its branches?
Mm.
Without its leaves? And I'll go even further. The hand ain't no good. I mean, you can still use it, but the hand ain't no good without the five fingers.
Yeah, that'd be real hard to give somebody five.
Okay.
But I hear what you're saying, though. Again, if I'm part of, then the whole synergy concept is real. You know, all together, the number of parts are equal to or not greater than the sum. In other words, we're all together, and if I'm the hand and we have fingers, then all that makes an entity or piece of our body that is now functionable. If I try to separate the fingers from the hand, I still have an appendage, so to speak, but it's not a functional one. So, again, all working together for the what, Brother Messenger?
For the good. If you go to an ocean and you get a glass and you take that glass and fill it up with ocean water, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you bring that ocean water home, what is it?
Ocean water?
A glass of ocean water. It ain't in the ocean, but it's still a glass of ocean water.
That's right.
You know what I thought you were going to say, brother? I'm sorry. I thought you was going to say, see the glass, dirty. Put a little ink in there. If you give this to the people, they'll drink it. But again, you know, I'm making fun of it. But see the glass of clean water. If you give that to them, they'll drink that also. But once they drink the dirty water and then drink the clean water, more times than not, they're going to choose the clean water.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that are so used to the dirty water that they think it's something wrong with the clean water because it don't look like the dirty water.
Mm.
And again, if that's all I know is dirty water, then when I see clean water, in my mind, now the clean water is now the dirty water because I'm just used to drinking dirty water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just used to studying or reciting what I've been used to. Now I hear something else that is not better, but different from what I'm experiencing. So therefore, I'm going to reject that for a while.
Okay.
Not forever.
That's
because
right.
It's going to come that time where you're going to want to drink, and guess what? All you have is that clean water there.
And once you
drink it, then you will question yourself. Wow, I've been drinking that over there all these years because I knew not. And this is what is in front of me all the time. And now that I've tasted, I don't want to be without it.
Here's a real thing to think about, too. And I'm going to say this a little bit more for the younger people, per se. And not, this isn't for every single one. But most of them, the stuff that they talk, they're only talking it because that's what they heard.
That's
it's not like they even experienced it. It's just what they heard.
Exactly.
Yeah, and even the older folks, the stuff that they talk about, they're still looking at it in the wrong way. God is in control of all of this stuff, but they're still looking at it because what they're missing out of all of that is themselves. I'll give you another good example. They'll tell you in a minute, I prayed for that person. That's why that person is doing that. I prayed for that person. So what do you think that was? Don't you know that that was your creative power at work? But we can't get over this illusion that God is this superhuman man in the sky and sitting there watching and waiting for whatever it is that we want to decide, yay or nay. Do you really think God is deciding what it is in the model in which they want you to believe that is that God is deciding at this moment if Brother Hyde should get the Mercedes or Brother Hyde should get the Jaguar? Do you think he's up there trying to decide? He's deciding that?
No.
Or is he up there saying, Brother Hyde, you get whatever you want to get?
That's their free will.
And if you don't get either one, it's not because God said no. It's because Brother Hodge said no.
That's right.
God is not sitting up there deciding what to give you. He's giving you the power that you can get whatever you want. And we just can't believe and accept that. We think what we have to do is give him our money and please him, and then he'll reward us. In order for us to get the big house, we got to make sure we pay our tithes. That'll keep God happy. Then he'll open up the windows of heaven. This is how we think. This is what we believe in the God that we serve. And God don't need us to serve him either. Why are you serving yourself?
You know, that whole concept right there just kind of, I think it's just real fickle when you look at it. Because if you were to believe, again, the story, God created all of this just to continually praise him. Now, again, if I was to say to you, hey, you know what, Brother Messenger, I think I'm going to open up a business tomorrow, and everybody that gets hired for my business has got to praise me 4 times a day, what would you think of me? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? I put this whole thing together just so you to praise me. And now I got to take the bad left turn. I put it together for you to praise me, but for some reason, you still ain't praising me like I thought you would.
Right.
I created you to do a thing, but you're not doing that thing. Come on, folks.
Maybe what he gonna do is he gonna send the messenger down to talk to y'all.
When he breathed in you, he sent the messenger.
That's right.
I'm talking about your business.
Okay.
Your business.
All right.
You start your business up for them. You're paying them daily so that they can give you the praise, and they ain't doing it. So now you gonna send me to tell them that they need to praise you. Or else you're going to stop paying them, even though you're still paying them.
Or I could just send a flood to wash the whole building out. I could just send a flood and we just wash that all out, and I'll hire a whole new set.
And I'll start all over again.
All over again.
Right, because once again, all of this power I got, I can't get nobody to do what I want them to do. I'm such a awesome guy, I can't even get the angels to praise me.
To stay in line.
As a matter of fact, one of them want to go to war with me.
Yeah, one of them called them out. One of them called them out.
Go ahead.
Yo, my man, you want to go? Come on. Everybody want to go. We're going to start our own thing. Hey, audience, listen. We are intentionally being jovial about this, but you got to think about this.
Yeah,
you have
exactly.
to think about what it is that we're making light of. And please, this is not blasphemous. This is what you call education. If you stop and you think about from beginning to end, as per the 66 books, there's a lot of things in there, man, that should make you question the awesomeness of the Creator. I can put from nothing, I can create planets. I can adorn the sky with stars, but I can't get my created people to do what it is they were created for.
Right.
And every time it don't work, I got a backup plan. Well, let's try this now. Let's try. You know, hey, wait a minute. Let's send the flood. That didn't work. Hey, let's go turn the people to stone in Sodom and Gomorrah. That didn't work. All right, now I got to take the gloves off. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take the body of a human, and I'll go down there and tell them. Folks, I'm sorry that I'm making light, and please don't be upset with me, but I want you to hear what I'm saying.
Amen.
I'm trying to put it to you in a light form, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. And I say to you, it is my belief, it is the messenger's belief that he teaches and that we put out there, man, that God is awesome. God is inside of every one of us, and he allows us to make our best life, while at the same time, that's giving him praise and that's giving him acknowledgement, is what we believe.
Okay.
So true, my brother, so true. And it couldn't be said any better. And as we do these things, as we help one another, that's glorifying God. That's how you glorify God. All of that sitting in there, hallelujah, that's all a show. There are people that go home and practice that. There's people that go home and know shouting routines and practice their shouting routines. There are some people that just go from the club to the church, and that same dance that they was doing at the club, they're doing it in the church.
You said you wasn't going to put my business on the podcast. I thought we had that agreed. Because let me tell you, you said that as a line, but I remember in Jersey leaving Zanzibar, going to church. I do. Because you had to go. You had to go.
That's right.
Once again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, it's a show.
Yeah,
because whether you dance or not dance, it ain't changing anything per se.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying how we put on this trying to be something that we're really not, where we can be who we really want to be. But we're too busy trying to please everybody else. Because we was in church for 50-something years pleasing mother.
Amen.
Some of us had to move out of state so we can start pleasing ourselves a little bit. I'm just saying.
Had to go to the Marines. Had to go to the Navy. I mean, I gotta go. I gotta go.
I got to go.
Yeah, I gotta go right now.
And then there was still something in us from our upbringing, because train a child in the way you'd have it to go. So it was something in us that even though we were away, we still felt the need to go there. Even though we were going just technically to say that we went.
Yes, you're right. And what's this? We were also going to see if Sister Ernestine was going to cuss the pastor out. we had that sister, because we had that uncle. See, you was probably at this age, Brother Minister, you was probably acting right in church. But I remember Reverend A.L. Brown, me, Chucky, my cousin Stanley, we be in church acting up. Oh, Reverend A.L. will put the spirit on hold. Stand by congregation. He would take us in that little side room in the back where they was always building the baptism pool and get up in that backside and come right back out and finish his sermon. So we knew. When Reverend A.L. was preaching, you still wasn't safe. You was not safe.
I mean, you used him, but do you know how many others are doing the exact same thing? How many people you see shouting, and then their kids acting up, and they reach over in the middle of the shout and pop their kid to have them sit down and stuff? It's a show.
But you know what, though? Even though, again, and I agree 1,000% with you that it is a show, and it goes on forever. I remember another show that was very, very big in the church community is when they lay hands on you. Now, you know, when you were at church and that minister put his hands on you, but I mean, it was just like, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to pass out. You ain't supposed to stand there. I just put that, bam, put the hand on you. You're supposed to pass out. And if you don't pass out, the second time he put his hands on you, you might want to open your eyes and be like, Brother Minister, you mad at me? I'm just saying, because he's going to hit you just a little harder. So again, it's not even about the laying of hands. It's about, I just touched you, and I told you, God told me to touch you, and you need to pass out. And it gets to the point where it's just like habit forming. You standing there, you waiting, you got your hands up. As soon as that preacher touch you, boom, you done.
Okay, and that's a beautiful thing. Because think about, as I was talking about the story today about the man with leper, Jesus touched him and cleansed him. He didn't pass out. Now, what you're saying, now all of a sudden that the preacher got more power than Jesus? Because when Jesus healed the man with leper, he didn't pass out. He told him, just go and show the priest what has happened to you. But the man didn't pass out somewhere, having a convulsion in the floor somewhere. But
have you ever seen this show where the minister will stand in the pulpit and just wave his hand, the whole church pass out? And I'm so serious. Again, I'm making light of a lot of subjects tonight, but this is stuff that's actually going on in these places that we choose to go 3 and 4 days a week.
Right.
You know, it makes you wonder. Is the awesomeness of God that great that the mere presence of him, you have to pass out? If that's the case, I should never wake up then.
That's right.
Never wake up. If God touched make me pass out, well, as soon as I wake up, guess what? He's still in me. He's still touching
Exactly. And when he's working with you, what it does is it brings you enlightenment. It doesn't knock you out. Why am I going? I'm trying to show you something, but instead I'm going to knock you out.
Well, you know what, brother?
It just doesn't add up.
It don't, and people are going to have to wake up and understand that it's not adding up. But I want to say we're at that point in the show where this hour of power is coming to an end. And I always like listen to my mom in the background.
Amen.
I've listened to her so much now that I can listen without, you know, getting all watery in the eyes and stuff. But I don't care what I was doing. If Mama showed up and started singing that song she's singing in the back right now, that was a wrap. That was a wrap. But anyway, folks, I really appreciate everybody coming out on the podcast tonight. Again, we share the word of God. I don't want anybody to think that we're blasphemous. We try to bring a little levity to the conversation, because some things is kind of deep. And if I bring it to you in a humorous manner, while you smile and laugh, it'll sink into you also. Mm-hmm. All we want, our message is simply understand that the Creator has given all of us
the same breath. And when we connect with him, we'll be able to live the best life that we can possibly create. Hey, everybody. Yeah. This is the co-producer of High to High Podcast. I've got the messenger and Nurse Carmen, always here with us sharing the word. So have a wonderful week, and we will see you through the podcast on Thursday night at 11 o'clock. Amen. Be blessed. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.